Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And off they go. And it's a great start for Arnaud Ferri. Arnaud Ferri in the lead at the moment as well, but Oscar Pistorius has already gone past Blake Leeper. It's the two South Africans in the lead, and here goes Pistorius. Look at him go. Oscar Pistorius absolutely storming away. Oscar Pistorius, is he going to, he's been caught, is he? Oscar Pistorius just tying up. Oh my goodness, he's been caught by Oliveira of Brazil.
That's last Sunday's 200-meter race at the Paralympics, where Olympic double amputee Oscar Pistorius, who was favored to win in the Paralympics, lost to Brazilian Alan Oliveira. Following that race, Pistorius cried foul, illegal fake legs, he said. The design of Oliveira's prostheses gave him an unfair advantage. In response,
the running prosthesis has to be in proportion with the body, and we follow a complex formula, and we enforce that formula on the length of the blade by measuring all the athletes prior to competition. And last night, ahead of the 200 metres, all the athletes who competed were measured and all were found to have valid running blades, and it was a fair race.
It's Craig Spence from the International Paralympic Committee. Complicated ratio of body to blade determines who has a regulation prosthesis. And this is just the running competition. As the 2012 Paralympic Games wind down this weekend, we wanted to explore in depth just how difficult it is to define proper equipment and even what is a disability in the modern Paralympics. Ed Hula comes back to the program. He's editor of Around the Rings, the specialist magazine covering the Olympic and Paralympic movements. Ed, how difficult is this, and how many sport categories have these kinds of controversies?
Well, fortunately, it's been restricted to the running, the use of the prosthetic blades involved with the athletics competition, and it is incredibly complicated. Now, there's other equipment used in the Paralympic Games. There are paracycles. There are cycles used for wheelchair racing, in wheelchair rugby, and so forth. But none have gotten so important as the prosthetics used by the runners in the Paralympic athletics competition. And it is just dizzying to try to figure out what they're going to do to resolve this controversy.
I want to talk a little bit about how the athletes actually interact with engineers and designers on prosthetics and even wheelchair design. But what about the definition of a disability itself? That's been a problem. Who decides that sort of thing?
Well, there's a committee or a group of medical experts with the International Paralympic Committee, dozens of them actually at these games. They're an important component of how these games are run, because you want a level playing field. You want athletes with similar disabilities competing against each other, and there not to be a significant disadvantage. So it's a question of testing athletes as far as their body movement, testing athletes, measuring them for their height, as they do in the case of the prosthetic blades. But it is not very simple and straightforward as it is in the Olympics, where there is no classification system. You run as who you are.
And because it's all very intuitive, Ed Hula, who's the editor of Around the Rings, the specialist magazine covering the Olympic and Paralympic movements, when we come back, I want to ask you if it's possible for like a really nearsighted weightlifter to make it into the Olympics, or if the regulations deal with that sort of thing. Also, you can join this conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You're listening to The Takeaway. Ed Hula, editor of Around the Rings, specialist magazine covering the Olympic and Paralympic movements. Are the regulations such that you can't just be a nearsighted swimmer or weightlifter and make it into the Paralympics?
Not quite. Yeah, you have to have a more significant disability than that. In the case of what we call weightlifting in the Olympics, we have powerlifting in the Paralympics. And that's a sport in which quadriplegics, paraplegics can compete using all of the strength in their upper body and their arms to clear some extraordinary weights. And that is not an Olympic competition. But nearsightedness will still allow you to compete in any number of Olympic sports, but you have to have a significant enough of a disability to compete in Paralympics.
You know, and that's a good thing. I mean, I don't want anyone to get the idea that I have something against people who are profoundly nearsighted. I have you know, glasses myself. Let's get back to the equipment collaboration, the relationship between athletes and companies that manufacture some of these devices. Is it a proprietary situation where engineers get together with a Pistorius or an Oliveira and come up with their own technology and then roll it out at the games? Or does there have to be a level playing field that everybody gets access to the same prosthetics?
Well, everybody seems to have access to the same prosthetics. There's really one company, an Icelandic-based company called Össur, which has developed the blades that Oscar Pistorius and other runners use, the cheetah blades. And they work closely with the athletes. These are in distribution around the world and used by more than just elite-level runners like Oscar Pistorius. They're used by day-to-day runners who need prosthetics in order to do their daily jog, that sort of thing.
But I'm thinking about the Fosbury flop. Remember in the major Olympics where Fosbury developed a completely different style of doing the high jump, and he was successful with it, winning gold, and now everybody jumps that way. I'm wondering if it's possible for an amputee to get with, say, a hotshot MIT designer and come up with their own prosthetic and get it approved, and then totally change the game on the track, independent of what their specific physical training might be.
But it still would then be required to be available to all Paralympic athletes, all athletes to use, again, to have that level playing field. It was maybe the case it was a few years ago when we had the new swimsuits for Olympic swimmers that supposedly cut their speed in the water. And it was a question of whether all athletes would have access to these suits, or just the ones who were sponsored by Speedo, for example. The blades that are used, they have to be comparable from one runner to another, or else you're just going to have very distorted, unfair results in the Paralympic competition.
Talking with Ed Hula, who's the editor of Around the Rings, the specialist magazine covering the Olympic and Paralympic movement. So does Oscar Pistorius have a bit of a sour grapes problem here, and does he get a chance to redeem himself at all?
Well, he certainly does. Last night, he and his colleagues, his teammates from South Africa, won a gold medal in the 400-meter relay at the Paralympics. Tonight, he'll try for the 100 meters. He's not a favorite in that race, but he did win the gold medal in Beijing last time around. And then he has another race this weekend. So he does have a chance to redeem himself. I think it was a bit of sour grapes. He's got a bit of an ego. But if you saw that race, Sunday night, I've seen few races like that where Oliveira came back from and overtook him in the stretch.
And Oliveira, of course, is from Brazil, where the next Paralympics is going to be.
Next Paralympics are going to be, and I think that really bodes well for the level of competition we're going to see from the home team in Brazil in 2016.
I've loved all our coverage. Before we go, Ed Hula, do you think London was a step forward that continues in Rio?
Very much so. London is an important Paralympic Games because of its roots, its heritage. The Paralympic movement really started in England, started in the United Kingdom. There have been some great athletic performances, great organization. It sort of sets a standard that Rio de Janeiro is going to have to follow when hosting the Paralympics in 2016.
We'll see, and we'll be talking to you when that happens. Ed Hula is editor of Around the Rings, the specialist magazine covering the Olympic and Paralympic movements. Thanks so much, Ed.
You're welcome, John.